Hello and happy Monday. It's August 11th and we have a lot of healthcare related stories to catch up on. West Nile virus cases are on the rise in Pennsylvania. It comes from mosquitoes. And there's a lot of controversy over the potential sale over Wilkes-Barre General in two Scranton hospitals. We'll dive into all of that in just a minute. I'm Isabella Weiss and you're tuned into Up to Date. First up, over in Pike County, the Pike Medical Foundation received $500,000 last week towards its first hospital from the State Department of Human Services. And currently, residents have to travel outside of the county and even out of state for medical care. County officials are working with New York-based Northwell Health and Lehigh Valley Health Network to open a micro-hospital and two primary care facilities in the area. Micro-hospitals are small, but provide 24/7 emergency care with limited inpatient beds. They fill coverage gaps in places that cannot otherwise support full-scale hospitals. And Commissioner Matthew Osterberg says he hopes the facility takes pressure off of local EMS services.
When you're picked up by an ambulance someplace in the center part of this county, many times that ambulance is out of service for 2 to 3 hours. And the reason being is because of the distance that they're required to get to a hospital.
He says the micro-hospital will cost approximately $30 million, including $3.5 million for equipment and furnishings.
So it's a big investment to do, but it's well overdue here in Pike County, and we're going to make sure that this becomes reality.
And Northwell Health says the first of its local primary care centers will open by the end of the year. And that's not the only hospital-related news in the region. Wilkes-Barre General Wilkes-Barre General Hospital's board of directors says it has concerns about the possible sale of their facility to Tenor Health Foundation. The board issued a statement Friday asking Governor Josh Shapiro's office and the region's legislative delegation to halt any sale of the hospital. You can read more on our website, wvia.org. And as you know, it's been rather hot in Pennsylvania lately, with summer being in full swing. And that also means one thing, there's a lot of mosquitoes outside. And with mosquitoes, that also means that West Nile virus cases are climbing in the state. There's only 2 human cases reported in Pennsylvania, but officials encourage taking steps to prevent mosquito bites and ultimately infection. WVIA's Lydia McFarlane reports from Robinson Park in Scranton.
Rocco Genovese sets up a trap. It's a standard task for him as Lackawanna County's West Nile virus coordinator.
Had a lot of water, a lot of rain, and so our mosquito counts have been high, our trap counts have been high, but as far as West Nile positives, they've been actually about half of last year.
He monitors cases with the state's Department of Environmental Protection, or DEP.
Nope, this is normal. This is an every summer occurrence.
That was Jennifer Stoff. She's with the DEP. Keith George says there's fewer cases in Luzerne County compared to last year. George is the county's Mosquito-Borne Disease Control Program coordinator. But another mosquito-borne virus is on the rise. Luzerne was the first in the state to report a positive Jamestown Canyon virus case.
Yeah, during dry periods, we get an influx of West Nile virus. During the wet periods, we get more of the floodplain species. We get more Jamestown Canyon virus is the trends that we see.
George says the county is spraying to mitigate the Jamestown Canyon cases. DEP says their best advice is to prevent bites from happening. Staff says residents should keep standing water out of yards.
The saying is, if you're feeding them, you're breeding them.
And wear long sleeves and pants and bug spray. In Scranton, I'm Lydia McFarlane, WVIA News.
And now that you've got even more reasons to hate mosquitoes, I'll leave you to Google what's the strongest mosquito repellent while we take a short break.
I'm Roger Dupuy from WVIA News. If you haven't already, sign up to get our free newsletter, WVIA News Notes. It's delivered right to your email inbox each Tuesday and Friday mornings. Go to WVIA.org and click on newsletters to subscribe.
Hi, and welcome back. Since it's Monday, I think we all deserve something sweet to start the week with. This weekend, St. Joseph's Melikite Greek Catholic Church hosted its annual Lebanese and American Food Festival in West Scranton. For today's recipe of the region, WVIA's Kat Bolas visits sisters Karen and Kathy and their grandchildren as they prepare desserts for the festival.
Kathy Abda Barrett thinks of her late mom Dorothy Abda while making desserts for the festival.
I talked to her the whole way here, telling her to make sure I do a good job.
She's in the kitchen at St. Vladimir Ukrainian Catholic Church. The kitchen at St. Joseph's is full of other volunteers making other items for the festival this weekend. Kathy and her sister Karen Abda Kane were the head chefs. When they were younger, they made desserts with their grandmother. She would roll out handmade thin sheets of dough for the baklava. Now they buy pre-made sheets of phyllo dough. Their grandchildren delicately pulled them apart and layered them in a pan with nuts and butter. Here's Karen.
And we're just carrying it on and hope my grandchildren's, Kathy's grandchildren, will carry it on. Next generation.
Karen worked on shredded wheat, another Dorothy Abda specialty. The cereal is crushed and mixed with warm milk and butter. Either nuts or ricotta cheese is packed in the middle. It's topped with a cold, lemony, simple syrup. St. Joseph's in West Scranton was started by Middle Eastern immigrants in 1897. The Abda family and my family, the Bolases, were among those immigrants.
Our mother would be proud of us, that's why. Kathy and I always say, why did we do this? Well, because she would be happy about it.
I'm Kat Bolas, WVIA News.
And next up, we have a special edition of News Voices hosted by Roger Dupuy.
I'm Roger Dupuy, and this is News Voices. This is a literal News Voices today because I have in the studio with me two people who I have worked with and respected for a very long time. Chris Kelly, columnist from the Scranton Times-Tribune, and my managing editor, Faith Golay, here at WVIA News. So good morning to both of you.
Thank you. Yeah.
Good morning, Roger.
Chris, I'm going to start out by referring to you as a freeloader, sir.
I am.
A reformed
yes.
PBS freeloader. You recently had a column in the newspaper where you talked about your lifelong relationship with public broadcasting.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't you start by telling me, you know, in a little bit about how you came to be a lover of public broadcasting.
Well, you know, I think it started when I was a child, you know, and, you know, it's interesting, you know, Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, it's originated in Pittsburgh, and Fred Rogers was a Pittsburgh native. I think Mr. Rogers did more than anyone in our popular culture to teach kids about empathy and, you know, and self-care and self-confidence and those sorts of things. And, you know, I mean, I think that's what you get. What did I get out of my early years? Lessons in how to be as a person and how to treat other people. Oh, and literacy. People tend to forget. We take it for granted. And that was my thing. We take public radio for granted. We take public broadcasting for granted. And, you know, it's something that we just assume will always be there. And this has been, a wake-up call. And I'm not paying for it. It's not free. And the investment in it is so small compared to what you get back. What I'm contributing now, not a lot. But it's a small investment in this vast thing that benefits our entire society, right? I think there are a lot of people, and I've heard from them since the column ran, who are the same. It's long been a goal of certain people to take this away. And now you see it actually happening.
Right.
What else could I do?
Faith, what did you think when you saw Chris's column?
Well, I was moved by it. Read. I'm interested, though, in your thoughts on what your favorite programming is.
It's all great. I've been to Europe with Rick Steves innumerable times, right? Oh, I love that show.
Good way to put it.
I go on PBS and I'll watch An American Experience. All of Ken Burns' stuff.
I think one thing that resonates from Chris's column that he wrote is that all journalists, if they're doing it for the right reasons, mm-hmm. come from the same place,
yeah.
right? We care about the community.
Yes.
We want to get the stories of the community out there. That is our mission.
Chris, what do you think happens to our society if PBS and public broadcasting went away?
The enemies of PBS, that's always been their driving goal, their reason to be against it. They don't like it because it does broaden the perspectives of the audience. It does help you learn things. It does it encourages all those, the arts, music, civic engagement, all those things that lead to a strong, educated populace. WVIA has a lot bigger reach than we have, mm-hmm. and you're out there doing it. Like, you're getting it done. We need to not only point fingers at the bad actors, but we need to remind people that there are really good people out there doing really good things. We need to present those hopeful sort of the stories that don't get told if we don't tell them.
You know, there's been so much turmoil this last year in news, so. You have to look to those stories to kind of lift you up a little bit and see the hope that, you know,
Absolutely.
In the community, yeah. in the region, and the people that we cover.
It's incumbent, I think, on anyone who cares about civic engagement and the good of the community to make a small donation towards that. That's all.
Chris, did public broadcasting influence who you became as a person?
Absolutely.
as positive influences who taught me how to be and taught me how to, you know, and there's so much of that that's missing today, especially in our current, you know, cultural climate. It's there's so much ugliness. We can't afford to lose another essential American institution. We just can't.
Chris, Faith, thank you both for being here. And to our audience, you can listen to an expanded version of this broadcast on our website, WVIA.org.
And that's our show. Thanks for tuning in as I fill in for Sarah Cinto while she's on vacation. We'll be right back at it tomorrow. Catch us on WVIA.org or wherever you get your podcasts.